Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is perfect. It's not just he stays. I'm looking at the Biden advisors, Dan, being called out by the Obama podcast guys, calling the Biden people, call these guys the cool guy Obama operatives. And they are insufferable. So I'm siding with the Biden advisors here, if you can imagine. But you see the tension in Hillary's lurking there. I saw a story today that said, well, wait a minute. We have a deep bench. What about Cory Booker? What about Amy Klobuchar as a nominee? Oh, my God. This is exactly what you want. That's why the smart Trump people, they're loving this. Every day that it continues is a great day. And it's getting more intense. Now, here is James Clyburn, who really, if he comes out anti-Biden directly and tells Biden to leave and says it publicly, now that would have some weight. He's a guy that put Biden into the presidency. He not only says Biden should stay, this is on NBC. Here's what Representative Clyburn says.
Should the conversation about the president getting out of this race, should that conversation continue?
No, it shouldn't.
The conversation should be over.
No, the conversation should focus on the record of this administration, on the alternative to his election, and let Joe Biden continue to make his own decisions about his future. He's earned that right, and I am going to give him that much respect. If he decides to change his mind later on, then we would respond to that. We have until the 19th of August to open our convention. And so I would hope that we would spend our time now focusing on the record that we will lay out for the American people, remind the American people of what is in store for them if Project 2025 were to become a law in any form. That is where our focus ought to be.
Oh, boy. All right. Let me address the 2025. And then Dan has the angle here. What about his legacy with Biden? I'll answer that here in a minute. OK. He mentioned 2025. Oh, my God. The ghastly 2025. So apparently on the Black Entertainment big award show this year, recently, this got talked about and thrown around. You can imagine what they were saying about it. And Dan, we're going to try to get one of the architects on. We've had him on before. Now, do they make a mistake going so public with this and making it so much overwhelming rather than a little bit calmer behind the scenes? What the 2025 project is about is making sure that Project 2025, making sure that this time around, the deep states, however you want to take that, to the most severe or just these bureaucrats who believe they're in charge. Supreme Court has just ruled, and it's one of the biggest things of our time. These pointy-headed administrators who are running the country. Well, we're trying to root them out with this. That's what the bottom line is. Now, Dan, I saw this morning. It's hard to believe, but people are Googling the Project 25 more currently than they're Googling Taylor Swift, that's one thing, but they're Googling it more than the NFL.
And it's working. Their propaganda around Project 2025 is working.
Yeah. So it's Mandate for Leadership 2025. Who's it working for? You mean to stop it?
No. Okay. Like Democrats. They've done in trying to spin this crap from Biden is, well, Biden had a bad night, but Project 2025. So people are hearing that, and they're Googling, what the hell is this Project 2025 thing? Right. And I think their spin room angle of this post-debate of trying to make everything about Project 2025 is working, and that's why you're seeing more people search it than Taylor Swift.
Well, when they search it, get rid of the Department of Education. I do Reading, Writing, Reason, one of the prominent education shows in the
country.
But
when they search it, they're not getting the results of the actual PDF of 300. They're getting the leftist take on it, and what they're getting is a biased view of conservatism that is going to turn people off to vote for him.
All right. For vote for Trump?
Yeah.
They're okay, that's what. So you think it's working. Well, look.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I would say, here's what happens. The Heritage Foundation, Dan, with this, had a chip in the big game. All right? That's a Harrison Ford reference, right? And they have this big project. They're buttoned up, and I like that. But as soon as you put this down on paper, you're right. They're making it as if, in a second Trump term, this will be dictatorial. Imagine. They're going to be removing some of these bureaucrats. That's exactly what we want. They shouldn't be in charge of our lives.
The thing is, though, they got nothing to stand on, so they're going to turn this into QAnon, and anybody that suggests anything as positive out of Project 2025 is going to be a crazy conspiracy theorist wanting to do another January 6th.
Well, that's why Trump distanced himself from it, and I would agree. I don't want to hear about 2025 during the convention. I want it to be the way I would do it. Trump should have had this document. Don't make it public. And then execute it. This is the work. We've identified these people. We know who they are. They are the deep state. That term is used very ominously, and at some level it is. At other levels, these are people that are going to say, no, you're not going to have that shower water, that toilet water, the dishwasher, all these regulations. And who determines exactly how to execute them? The people that Project 2025 are trying to take out. Now, they're telling people, Roa asked me, Dan, are they going to take away school lunches? I said, what? To your point, you know, this is the type of stuff being attributed to them. So, wow, this is big, though. If something is Googled more than the NFL, Taylor Swift, I could understand, maybe. But the NFL, Dan, at this time of year, wow, that is nuts. How could people be that interested? It's got to be conspiracy. It's got to be they're going all out. All right, so that was the BET Awards.
So I have the little propaganda piece that they're floating around as to all the stuff that they're going to exploit as to what 2025 does.
Right.
They claim it ends marriage equality, it eliminates unions, it defunds the FBI and Homeland Security, eliminates federal agencies like the FDA, EPA. They say there's calls for mass deportation of immigrants and incarceration in, quote, camps. Ending birthright citizenship, cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, eliminating the Department of Education, teaching Christian religious beliefs in public schools, end civil rights and DEI protections in governments, ban African American studies in all levels of education.
All right. So, yeah, there's a lot of propaganda on this. We'll have the guy on, Dan. Let's get him back on for the convention.
It's all fear-mongering is what it is.
The Dan's guy. And let's see if he can. I'll ask him point blank about this. The problem is they kept on going on shows, the head of the Heritage with this, and kept on going back and forth. And of course, you know what's going to happen. They're going to pick and spin this in some way where it's not meant to be. One other award show. I guess it was last night. It could have been the night before, but I think it's last night. The ESPYs. Now, first of all, they had the nerve to have Prince Harry up there with the wife getting the award for what he's done in sports, the Pat Tillman Award. Even though the mother of Pat Tillman has spoken out and said, no way, this guy is the wrong guy to give this to. You got to be kidding me. But then profiles in No Courage, the Williams sisters were up there. Venus kicked it off, the comment. And then Serena Williams jumped in. And then Brunson from the dastardly Abbott Elementary all jumped in. So the ESPY Awards, the ESPY Awards last night, the Williams sisters there knowing what's happening in women's sports, knowing what's happening with Caitlin Clark. Riley Gaines was all over. Riley Gaines ought to be the one that wins the award for what she's done.
You know, if ESPN's going to air this kind of stuff, they should invite Riley to kind of even things out. You know?
Yeah, that would. Oh, man. Can you imagine there the booing, the craziness? It brings up the biggest question. How in the world of sports has it gotten this politically? I mean, the world of sports used to be rough and tumble. You know what I mean? It wasn't politically correct. You would hear some, you know, like Babe Ruth, I hardly think, would come on an interview. And what did he say? I don't eat asparagus. It makes my urine smell or something like that.
It's true.
Yeah, right. I mean, but he would imagine Babe Ruth today. Some of these guys. Ted Williams, a guy like that. Mickey Mantle. Oh, my God. All right. So here are the Williams sisters and Ms. Brunson attacking who? The field goal kicker.
LeBron wants to win.
The field goal kicker for the Chiefs.
And with his son on his team. I won with my daughter in my belly. I think we know which one is way more impressive.
that was two against one and it wasn't fair. So go ahead and enjoy women's sports like you would any other sports, because they are sports. Yes.
Except you, Harrison Butker. We don't need you.
At all. Like ever.
All right. So, you know, this is what it's about. The big issue in front of these two frauds, who are tremendous and untouchable. I mean, Serena Williams, if she came out saying, "No, we're not having these guys in tennis or any sport," she's untouchable. They're not going to bring down Serena Williams. But no, let's punch below our weights Harrison Butker, the field goal kicker. All right. I wish Harrison Butker had a speaking role.
Catching strays, Harrison.
Yeah, but how is it that the world of sports, like ESPN, has taken on this vaguely leftist? You see the award winner, Prince Harry, of course. Hey, the woman objects. Her son's name is on it. The Pat Tillman thing. Come on, you should have known that. You should have asked her about that.
Is there actually like an audience out there that wants this crap?
No, that's why the ratings went down, et cetera. So,
I can't think of anybody that would want to sit through this crap.
I thought we went through that with ESPN and how they lost audience because of what they were doing. But, Dan, they still go back to the same kinds of things in the end because they believe that's what the world of sports is today. They believe that's where we are.
Like, have we switched now where the funding for ESPN is no longer based on ratings, but it's based on propaganda and political because of, you know, what we have with the ESG ratings and all, that they're more concerned about keeping their investors happy than they are keeping their viewers happy?
That must be, or they think their viewers are dopes and just want to watch sports. So, you know, that's my theory. They believe they can get away with their own politics because people want sports, so they'll put up with whatever happens. I got to go along with it. I want sports. That's it. 855-839-1210. All right, let's get one on board here. Side question today, all-time dimples or distinct facial characteristics. Susan in Chester Springs. Hey, Susan, right. Afternoon.
Hey, Don. Congratulations on Don Jr. That's very exciting.
Thank you. Hope to see you there. Yeah, it's particularly if he gets J.D. Vance in as VP. Man, we're going to have a lot to talk about one way or another. So, Don,
you always do. So.
So, Don, you just wanted a guy with a beard, right? Is that what an old beard show?
Well, no. I'm just so sick of politics right now. I'm hoping they don't cheat their way into the White House. But I had an old person for the dimple thing, but then I thought Tom Selleck has those great dimples.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'll take what she was going to say off because we forgot Shirley Temple take off. Boy, that's a power. It's mostly from BET. That's when I think a lot of this started with Project 2025. Look, and Trump was smart to distance from this. They went down Broadway publicizing this. There's nothing in there that's, I don't know if I agree with every, you know, it's 90 pages, I think, or more. But the premise is we got to get out of this administrative state, deep state, call it what you will. Supreme Court just said that in the Chevron decision. They shouldn't be making these decisions. That's for elected officials to do it.
And Carlos underlined that Project 2025 isn't something specific by the Trump administration about some, quote, dictatorship that they like to make it turn.
Right.
Heritage Foundation's been doing this, suggesting policies for conservative presidents for years, decades. And this is just another in a long line of long, long, you know, guides that they've put out there. And Heritage Foundation's not the only one. There are other foundations conservative, and there are definitely tons of Democratic foundations that do the same thing as well that are super radical left.
Yeah, the reason this is, what's the biggest failing of the first Trump years? Flying by the seat of your pants too much, not buttoning up. Clearly, that's what it is. And this is the document that says, day one, we're buttoned up. We're going to root this stuff out. You're not going to slow us down. That's what the deep state is on many levels. Bureaucrats who will slow you down, who will trigger, do anything they want, and make it very difficult to get these policies enacted. Yeah, and it does say deportation. We haven't talked about that. I'll ask Byron Donalds at 1:30 about that. Really? We're going to deport people? Yes. And that's popular. So Trump has melded stuff that's more conservative on the one hand and more populist on the other hand with Social Security, Medicare. And the other side doesn't know how to counter that. That's the platform. Dom time. Byron Donald's coming up at 1:30. Pre-convention, the SAVE Act, VP choice. He's one of the leading contenders. Larry Krasner. We talked about him a lot this week with the Fitzgerald family, how disgraceful the whole thing was. He has instituted, though, his grand plan. He is targeting serious election interference crimes. We are firmly committed to protecting the democratic rights and safety of every Philadelphian, says Matthew Stigler, senior advisor to him. And what this is a panel group set up, and they're bringing in, somebody even said to me, well, let's get a couple of attorneys to infiltrate this so they can tell us exactly what this they're up to. Building and leading a team that aims to identify and prosecute serious election interference crimes. Now, not Democrat cheating, not progressive cheating, not Zuckerbucks, not these early polling things. They want to prevent anybody from speaking out about this stuff. And what do they go to when they're always looking to tell us about who is the real threat to America? Well, they go back to Al Schmidt. Remember him? He was the Republican commissioner in 2020. And they talk about death threats and all that. And I've said, whether it's Al Schmidt or anybody else, what we should be doing is tracking down people that make death threats and things of that nature, fullest extent of the law. Go after them. But the bottom line is, they're making this, if you are saying there are problems here in Philadelphia, there were problems the last time in Pennsylvania, various things we've gone through ad nauseum around Democrat shenanigans, then that is problematic. The governor of the state wants to put Homeland Security and the FBI on you. That's what they're going to try to do here in Pennsylvania. They are hell-bent that we are not.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not going to be allowed. I mean, the Committee of 70, this is this alleged nonpartisan group. They are partisan. We had Linda Kearns on, and she said, they recently said that all these people agitating with all these poll watchers and all the rest of us, they're not on board with that. We happen to think that's good citizenship. That's good government. Don't you want people to be poll watchers? Yeah, of course we do. Particularly having to go in Philadelphia in some of these places. They don't. They say this is agitation. The elections are fine. What are you talking about? All right, let's go to Robert and Ben Salem on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. I have to tell you that I went out and had a late breakfast with Gary from Newtown and met him today, and absolutely delightful. Wonderful person.
Great guy.
Great time.
His wife is even nicer. She keeps his instincts under control. Yes.
It was great to talk to him. Looking forward to meeting more of the listeners for sure. But I'm going to go with, it's hard to find people that I care about that have dimples, I think. That was my main problem with this. I couldn't find anybody like that had some kind of significance in the science field or whatever thing. But I do kind of like Hugh Jackman and some of the roles he plays, and he does have a rather prominent dimple on his chin. So I'm going to go with Hugh Jackman, and I'm going to do my best to make it to see Don Jr. That would be amazing. But loving the show, and you guys have a great weekend. I really appreciate you, Dom.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. You have a great weekend, too. Yeah, Hugh Jackman's a good one. Roe, a big fan of Hugh Jackman. He referenced Don Trump Jr. Of course, we announced today around 12:28 or so that Tuesday, July 30th, 7:15 p.m., Scottish Rite. You know, we've done a lot of events with them over the year. I think I've been to five or six there. That's where we'll have Don Trump Jr. And we will be talking for Politics and Pints. I don't know what his drink is. We'll have to research that. I did hear, Dan, there was a potential vodka sponsor. So
ooh, really?
Johnny Z's got to be on speed dial because, you know, if we're drinking vodka there, I'm only drinking his concoctions. The event, again, Scottish Rite, cash bar, soft drink, wine, cocktails.
Did you say hash bar?
No, I said cash bar.
Oh, cash. Okay.
And tickets go on sale 12 noon Monday, this coming Monday, July 15th, you go to 1210WPHT.com. Now, of course, with Don Jr., this will be a little bit post-convention, but we'll go inside his thoughts. I mean, he is making no bones about it that he favors J.D. Vance as the VP choice. And he's been given a key slot. He is going to introduce the vice president on the Wednesday night, or nominate him, I guess, in a sense. That's one of the key speaking roles. Dana White, the head of the mixed martial arts group, is going to introduce President Trump, I think, on Thursday night. And the Rachel Morin family, I don't know about Riley's family, whether or not they'll be at the convention. They have a speaking role. Amber Rose, a speaking role. Ron DeSantis has a speaker role. I think that's good. DeSantis and Trump have, I don't know about buried the hatchet, but they've come together. DeSantis is being helpful. So it's a good thing to embrace all that and move forward. No, I don't think DeSantis will be the VP choice. I just can't, I can't get around Doug Burgum. I think that's a missed opportunity. They may be thinking, well, we're going to win. We want someone to help us govern. You got to win first. Today, I'm not hearing as much Glenn Youngkin stuff, to be honest. I'm kind of hoping for that. I don't have any connection to Youngkin. I just see the upside, though. They mustn't think we can win Virginia. If they think we can win Virginia, I mean, really better than a 50-50, 75-25, if he's a nominee, I think you got to go for it. I think the race is over right there. Still think Biden's going to hang in. I know that's shocking, but after last night, he's calmed things down, even though more are coming out against him. It was horrible, but it's not as bad as the debate. And Biden can't win. Can you imagine the material they have coming around what's happened, debate, post-debate, with Biden? America's not going to forget that. And what's happening, though, the problem for Democrats, I told you yesterday, Dave McCormick sent me the most recent poll. He's tied or 1 point behind in margin of error, however you slice it, with Bob Casey Jr. Finally, Bob Casey Jr. can't coast. And McCormick's got a lot of money behind him. And some of this is the spillage from Biden. That's what's driving, helping to drive it down. I think McCormick has better than a 50-50 shot of beating Casey, and that could mean the Senate. Yeah, we have to win the presidency. But then after that, wouldn't it be nice to finally have the Senate again? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. It looks almost assuredly, I'd say it is, that the VP won't be announced. Would he announce it on a Monday, since that's a slow convention day? I don't see that. More like a Tuesday, but I don't think so over the weekend. Not at all over the weekend.
Can I throw this towards you? Yeah. Is it not pertinent for Trump to not create a whole lot of discussion about who it's going to be before he announces it? Like, isn't it more beneficial for him to start the convention with an announcement? That way people are dissecting his choice and propping it up rather than spending 2 days saying who they want and who they don't want, only for him to piss off a lot of people by picking who they
don't
want?
Oh, that they're there. Yeah, I hear you on that. But, you know, his instinct is to keep the tension going in the drama.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it is. But I agree with you on this one. You've taken all the juice out of this that you can possibly get out of it. Now's the time to announce it. And big rally in Butler. I don't think he's going to announce it there, though. He's going to do it at the convention. Would you do it on a Monday? I'll ask Byron Donalds, who's in the on-deck circle, about that. He's one of the people that it still could be. I mean, Wall Street Journal today has been pretty much on top of it. They say Burgum, Rubio, or J.D. Vance. I don't see Rubio. I don't want to see Burgum. Right, Dan? You don't want to see Burgum either. You're intrigued by his eyebrows.
I am intrigued by the eyebrows, but I don't want to see Burgum.
I mean, Mike, no. That is more of a tepid than Mike Pence was. I'd rather, well, I don't know if J.D. Vance baggage.
Tepid is good, though, Dom. Tepid with moderation good, I think.
Okay. Well, he signed a 6-week abortion bill in Montana. Now, he could argue he had no choice. You could see it in the Wall Street Journal today, but...
Well, it was overwhelmingly support. Like,
yeah, I know.
You make the argument that it stayed and the state chose
it. He still could have vetoed it, though. That would have been better for him. All right, Byron Donalds is next here with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. Congressman, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be back. How's it going?
Very well. We always love to have you in Philadelphia. We told your colleague, Congressman Hunt, he might be coming our way. We love to have you stop in. But I find this to be the real perfect storm, George Clooney reference, since he's involved in this, where Biden is in purgatory. You know, he's got one foot in purgatory anyhow. And last night was exactly what you would want. I think he hangs in, as awful as it was, and the chaos on the other side is mind-numbing.
So I will tell you, my first day back in Capitol Hill after the debate in Atlanta, I'm walking to the speaker's office, and Debbie Dingell, one of our colleagues out of Michigan, Democrat, she's like walking down the hall very, very like quickly. I've never seen Debbie walk this fast. And there were 20 reporters who were chasing her down the hallway. One reporter got body blocked into the wall because the other reporters were just in such a breakneck pace to get to Debbie Dingell. And she's running away from them, and they're chasing her. That is a microcosm of what's been happening in Washington, D.C. I think the Democrats have never had to deal with media backlash like this. Some of my colleagues on Capitol Hill who've been around five terms, eight terms, they've told me they've never seen anything like this.
Feel free to Congressman, feel free to use in your interview the Dingell Dash when you make this point on CNN or someplace like that. They'll love it.
That sounds like you're going to the bathroom, man. I'm going to leave that one alone. But the truth is they've never had to deal with anything like this. And so Joe Biden's, performance last night did not calm fears. I mean, you saw, like, right after it, Jim Himes, the ranking member on the Intelligence Committee, came out and said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Joe's got to go. And so this has not done anything. His performances, quote unquote, have not calmed down the issue. And the number one issue is nobody believes he can do the job now, let alone for four more years. And then what's really happened is the secondary issue, even if you get past that one, is that everything he's done has been an unmitigated disaster. So they're in a world of hurt, and I think what they're looking at is their own political futures. They're not concerned about Democrat voters or independent voters or even Republican voters. They're concerned. I don't think that's going to stop.
Yeah, the convention. Give me how you'd like to see the convention go. What do you want to see out of the convention?
Honestly, I think we're just going to be focused, locked in on our message, locked in on the American people, demonstrating to the world that not only do we have the policies for what needs to happen in our country, but we also have the leadership. We have the stature. We have the decision-making ability. We have, the mental capabilities. And I think also what you're going to see is the true depth of the Republican Party next week in Milwaukee. And so I think coming out of there, obviously the crescendo being Donald Trump accepting the nomination, it's going to be a great week for us and to independents in our country and even, you know, like conservative Democrats and disaffected Democrats who are in Philadelphia and everywhere else. They're going to be like, you know what? This actually sounds pretty good. Are these the people they say are a threat to democracy? Because it doesn't really seem that way at all, especially considering the fact that the Democrats in the media hid the fact that Joe Biden is mentally incapable of doing his job.
Yeah, exactly. Give us a sense inside that, the SAVE Act. I like to say that sometimes the politically right thing and the moral right thing come together, and Democrats don't know what to do with you guys on the issue of non-citizens should not be able to vote. The only thing they seem to be saying is that, and here we go again, this is Jim Crow 2.0.
It's so ridiculous. It's not even gaslighting. It's just outright lying. It's offensive. It's offensive to black people who fought for the right to vote in this country. It's offensive for women who fought for the right to vote in this country. And to now say that if you just come across the border illegally, that it's not going to be the law of the land, that you have to become a citizen first before you get to vote, it's obscene and it's offensive. But this is where the modern Democrat Party is. They are a party of massive open borders. They are a party of basically anybody coming in. And as long as they support the Democrat agenda, they go to the front of the line. and to hell with everybody else who's been in this country, worked hard in this country, came here the legal way, the right way, or growing up poor in the inner city, or poor in rural areas in this country, making something of their life. If that's who you are, the Democrat Party is not an advocate for you. They are an advocate for these elites on both coasts. You can see from the George Clooney's down to all the people in the Upper West Side of New York. And they are a party for these radical components, this radical ideology that has come from Europe and with illegals who come across our southern border. It's disgusting.
One parting area, of course, you should know with our listeners, you're one of the favorites every time we talk about the VP choice. And I have to tell you, the VP choice draws more calls and more listeners, I guess, because the nominees have been sewn up. Final thoughts as you head into the convention as one of the contenders.
I really don't know what Donald Trump is going to decide, you know, but I know it's going to be a great choice. You know, all the people on the list, quote unquote, we all know each other. We all know each other, talk to each other. It's going to be a great choice. You know, I mean, selfishly, yeah, I want it to be me. But at the end of the
day, you know what? I commend you for that. The first guy we've had. That's exactly what I would say. Look, I like these other guys and women, but I want it to be me, of course.
I mean, you know, they're okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great choice. Donald Trump's going to do an amazing job. Our ticket is going to truly demonstrate what it means to putting the American people first, putting America first, and then making our country great again. And that's what it's going to be all about. Everything else comes secondary and tertiary. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I'm going to have a great time at the convention, talking to a lot of people. And so we're going to really lay out for the country what it means to be proud of America and have a policy and a platform and a vision for the future of our country.
Absolutely. Congressman, thank you as always. Have a great convention.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
All right, Congressman Byron Donaldson. I love it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Pure honesty.
Yeah, pure honesty. He's great. Wesley Hunt, though, gets me wound up a little bit more, though. He's fiery. You know what I mean?
What's Dr. Ben's response? I'd be honored if I was.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. This guy. Yeah, of course I want it to be me. Who wouldn't be, right? If you're in that run, because you know it's only one step away. If Kamala Harris can get a step away from the presidency, then anybody can. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in. Side question today, National Dimple Day. But think, Dan, who is it that you picked to the distinct facial characteristics?
Doug Burgum's eyebrows.
Yeah. Can we all agree, too? Can I get a call?
Shame, Dan? Doug.
You think I'll get a call and say, oh, come on, Dom, you got to stop it. I really want Doug Burgum. Based on what?
The Doug Burgum fans out there.
I'm just afraid that's a sign they think they're going to win.
The Burgumites.
They want somebody who's actually going to get things done and be in charge. I hear all that. My goal,
Maisie loves Doug Burgum.
I am too short-sighted.
She likes the softness, I guess.
Until the game's over, I care about. But, Dom, you're up by 30 with 30 seconds left. You never know. I just want one thing. I want it to be over. Relief, you won. And then you go from there. Yeah. I don't need Doug Burgum because we're going to do something once.
But Burgum might help you win.
I don't see it. Not at all.
No?
He's more seen as
but,
a
the counter-argument I give is I'm not a Burgum guy, but Maisie behind, because I said that she already confessed her love for Dr. Ben. Behind Dr. Ben, she really likes Burgum during the debates.
Okay.
This year, this time around. So
I don't know who likes J.D. Vance.
She might just be a bad arbiter for this, though.
Yeah, I don't know J.D. Vance, but Don Trump Jr. does. So this is going to be fascinating. So what's going to be better, Dan, when Don Trump Jr. is with us? Oh, when is that again? July 30th.
Woo!
Scottish Rite Auditorium, great facility.
Do not miss this.
You got to be ready. I want to see those ticket counts on Monday. Right at noon on Monday, you'll be able to, that's when the window opens to get your tickets with Don Trump Jr. So start to make your plans, get your group ready. You'll be going to 1210WPHT.com. Does it enhance if J.D. Vance is picked? Or does it enhance if we go inside that J.D. Vance is not picked? I'm not sure. Probably if he's picked, I guess.
Well, I don't see what it enhances.
Well, insight of how this happened, the VP and all that, because I think Don Trump Jr. is in the inner circle.
Oh, you're talking the event. Well, the event enhances regardless. I thought you were talking about J.D. Vance enhancing the Donald Trump campaign. Sorry.
No, I meant what it'll be more interesting for listeners I guess if Vance is picked.
No, what's going to be interesting is if he chooses Don Trump Jr.
Well, yeah. All right. So, and we're not sure of Kimberly Guilfoyle. I haven't asked about that yet. That'd be an added attraction. So, Dan, I need somebody to introduce me. Probably it will be you this time to come out. Then we'll bring out Don Trump Jr.
I got to do this introduction? That's a lot weighing on my shoulder.
Well, Roe's coming. Can you imagine Roe introducing? Oh, my God.
I do have some audio. So the reason why I love Don Trump Jr. so much and what makes him such a great guest is his candid nature. He'll talk about whatever he wants. And here he is talking about himself as VP.
Trump Jr. for VP. A lot of Carson. I like that. Byron Donalds. You or Tucker are the only two options. Well, I appreciate that. I always joke. If it was me, it would be sort of like, let's call it, I think I can say it because it's my dad, but would it be called assassinating proof the president, right? No one would want me in there in the D.C. swamp.
Ooh. All right.
He's not saying no.
Well, he's going to introduce himself. All right. So be ready Monday, 1210WPHT.com.
Campaign me.
Get your group ready. It's going to be a fabulous night, Tuesday night, July 30th. Okay. Our entertainment guy, Scott Cronick, is back with us. It's been a while. Give you some great things to see that are out there, TV, movies, and the like. I've never seen fully Dan the Bear, but it's because we don't have Hulu. It's on FX.
Well,
maybe I can get it on.
It's a really good show, but you're telling me that reviews say it's fallen off this season?
Yeah, fallen off this year, but I'd like to get in the loop a little bit late to it. Hey, Scott, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom, how are you, buddy?
Very well. So I've heard great things about The Bear. I think I just didn't have the platform easily to get to it. I mean, people that I respect, you may have said stuff about it, too, about a restaurateur, food critic, and all that, but this season of The Bear, Scott, I've had that it's fallen off listening to critics.
Yeah, it's not as good. It's good. It's still one of the best shows on television, but when you compare it to those first two seasons, it's definitely a letdown, Dom. No doubt about it.
So what's the magic of it, the first two seasons, for people who haven't gotten onto it, Scott? What is the plot that draws people?
So I think the plot is because everyone, I think, is intrigued by the restaurant business, because whether you're in one or not in it, and everyone feels like they could run a restaurant or own a restaurant, even if they have no idea how hard it is, right? So because they eat in one, they think they could run one. And I think that there's that aura about a restaurant that intrigues everybody. And I think that The Bear, maybe better than any other show or movie in the history of movies and television, have captured what that experience is like. And from a real deal angle, from a chef's angle, from the guy who is taking your cheesesteak, to the guy who's, delivering the stuff to your front door. And I think that's what's great about it. And I think that's where the season three went wrong a little bit, is that the first two, you really were into the heat of the action of it and the nitty gritty of it. And the third season got away from that and was a little more out of the restaurant and more about the characters and what they did outside the restaurant. And I think that we miss seeing the action we did the first two.
Kevin Costner, I saw a big interview with him, and I'm a little bit mixed on Costner over the years. Some things really good, others, wow. With the film Horizon, and apparently it flopped, but they're saying they took it out because the audience wasn't ready for it yet. What can you tell us about it?
So Horizon is Kevin Costner's pet project. He literally got like property and spent about $36 million.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah, we couldn't. You broke up there, Scott, a lot. So
yeah, I'm sorry. So I don't know what you got there, but it's his pet project. He had a lot of his friends as well as he invested personally. He mortgaged his own land. He put $36 million of his own money. The first two films cost $100 million each, and they're beautifully told westerns. At least the first one is beautifully shot. But again, it's a western, Dom. It's a hard sell to people to get out to a three-hour western, and then on top of it, it's four parts. So I think it's a real hard sell to tell people that they have to go and spend 12 hours in a movie theater and go to see four different movies to tell this story. And it bombed at the box office, and now they're moving it to the August release for the second one. They don't even know when they're going to release the second one. But it's really a disaster from a financial standpoint, but from an artistic standpoint, especially if you love Westerns, Horizon is an amazing, amazing story that's beautifully filmed and beautifully told.
It seems like you pushed the envelope too far, because Yellowstone, I don't get it. You know, I'm not a critic or a fan. It's not my genre. That just did numbers that were incredible. So wouldn't you think, with Costner involved, this still would do pretty well?
Yeah, you did. But Yellowstone, the problem, but this is an old school Western, and people just aren't into old school Westerns. The reason old Yellowstone works is because it's a modern day soap opera, basically, about land rights and trying to preserve the land. And it's also very political in nature and things like that. And it's told in the modern day. But this is told in the turn of the Civil War, you know, with horses and gunslingers and, you know, all that stuff going on. And frankly, today's modern audience, unfortunately, just doesn't care about Westerns.
Dan, you had a question.
Yeah, I'm curious. Is this the final nail in the coffin for that genre, Scott, in your opinion? I mean, you had a Quentin Tarantino try it, and I think you were a big fan of The Hateful Eight, but just curious, is this the final nail? Are we never going to see a big budget Western again because of this?
No, it's not. Hollywood is obsessed with Westerns, thank God, because I am too, and I love them. And no matter how badly they do, it seems like there's somebody who has a pet project or somebody who's willing to invest in whatever that next thing is. And you know what? There have been successful Westerns along the way. You know, when the Coen brothers redid that True Grit movie, that was very successful. There are some stories that are told that do very well. But I don't know if you're going to see a big $400 million for film project invested. I think that's a risk, and I can't believe it got greenlit in the first place.
Scott, Dan tells me the film Kinds of Kindness is one of your favorites. So with that going in, we certainly want to hear about it. Your sensibilities are first class. What do you like about it?
So this is Yorgos Lanthimos. He's a Greek director. He did Poor Things. I don't know if you remember. That was the Oscar darling of last year.
Yep.
It was my favorite film of the year, which is really surprising that this movie got released in the middle of the summer and has no billing behind it. There have been no advertisements. There have been no pushing of it, despite it being from maybe the most acclaimed director of last year. And it flew under the radar. And I just think, unfortunately, it got buried in the middle of the summer. And it's a very good movie. Again, this director, he's also made The Lobster. He made Killing of a Sacred Deer. He makes very strange, odd films. And in the middle of the summer, you're just going to get buried by blockbusters. And here's another movie that has Jesse Plemons in it. It has Emma Stone, who was also in Poor Things. And she was nominated for Best Actress as well. So it's a great cast. Great story, very strange, but it just got buried at the box office. In fact, it didn't even make it into theaters down where I live here in South Jersey. I had to go see it back up in Scranton where my mom lives. And you're going to see it on streaming probably sooner than later, and if you do, I can't urge you enough to check it out.
Scott, what's happening in AC with you this weekend?
Lots going on. You know, the weather hopefully doesn't wash everything out, but there's a lot of course, great shows at the casinos, Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. We have a great music Friday and Saturday nights, and come check us out for brunch. It's an amazing brunch. We have a DJ 11 to 3 Saturdays and Sundays, and the best chicken, and not, you know, everybody has chicken and waffles. We have chicken and fried donuts. So,
Oh my God. Wait a minute, the American Medical Association is going to be there chowing down. Yes.
So I'm a brunch. I love brunch, and most of this comes because of Scott Cronick and his affinity for food that he introduced me to. But the DJ at the brunch, man, that's kind of a weird choice. Is he playing Sinatra, or are we playing like Avicii and stuff?
It's more like, you know, he plays to the crowd, but it's everything from classic rock to modern hip hop to you know, dance music. But don't expect a rave. You know, it's not a rave. It's it's a food friendly DJ. You know, it's good music. Yeah, fun stuff.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.